Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here as always with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. How's it going, Caitlin?
Better than Julian.
Oh, man.
Sorry. It's true.
Ah, that poor guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we've got two articles today. The one yesterday was, the persecution of Assange proves him right.
Fucking does.
He is the proof of the pudding. He proves his own thesis.
Yeah, he spends all his time trying to bring transparency to these power structures under the premise that they lie and do evil things.
Yes, and that they do not want transparency brought to them.
Yeah,
because they're very fast to say, like, if nothing to hide, nothing to fear, nothing to hide.
Right,
when it comes to regular people.
Yeah, that's the narrative advanced by the MSM. If you got nothing to hide, you got nothing to fear from surveillance.
Mm.
They're saying if you're a good person, you should have nothing to fear from surveillance. But as soon as anyone steps forward and tries to bring transparency to them, it's, oh my God, you're a Nazi!
Right. Yeah, and these are government... Pentagon, CIA, these are like taxpayer funded places where they should be doing the work of the people. There's no need for them to be doing these things in complete conspiracy and in secrecy. So it's very, very weird. Anyway. And so, yeah, he's been knocking it out of the park with the leaks that are coming to him from wonderful whistleblowers within these institutions who are going, holy shit, this cannot keep going on. People need to know that this is happening in their world. And then putting them, their not only their careers, but their lives at risk sometimes.
Yeah, if you squeal on the CIA, you're putting your life at risk.
Right.
100%.
Yeah, yeah. They're very good at disappearing you. So, yeah, the last two big leaks about Vault 7, Vault 8 were just about the CIA. Anyway, he is the proof that they so want him silenced, and they don't really know how to do that because it's a very weird situation for him to be in, where he essentially is, you know, under house arrest, basically,
yeah,
in detention, but he was still able to do his work, see, which he wouldn't be able to do if he was in actual prison. You know, it's interesting. They've moved the public conversation along so far. When I was writing about this last time it happened, when he lost internet access, which is in was October of 2016, the header I went with then was, Julian Assange is the safest person in the world right now. And because he had so much support, and he had so much support from a wide variety of different factions and different political views and stuff. He had helped so many different people that they all came to his aid. And remember, there was a giant DDoS, denial of service attack, DDoS, isn't it? Denial of service attack in retaliation for his internet access.
Yeah, right before the actual election.
Yeah. So,
that's right. I mean, yeah, in retaliation, you mean on internet servers and stuff. In retaliation
for knocking out Julian's internet,
right?
Yeah, so they totally showed their strength of what they could do. You know, these little internet nerds could totally bring down America, at least for a couple of hours. And they had to call them off. WikiLeaks had to say, "That's all right. That's enough, boys. Thank you." But you've
right,
made your
point. And there was just so much outrage from the left and the right, protecting him and saying, "If you touch one silver hair on that man's head,
yeah,
we will raise you to the ground."
He is, yeah, exactly. Well, so that's October 2016. It's now only 18 months. They've done They've thrown everything that they have on him in terms of propaganda. Now, I keep harping on about how important propaganda is. It is the thing. The only thing that has actually changed between October then and, you know, here we are in April 2018 is the fact that they have thrown everything they can at him to change the story around Julian Assange.
Right, that's an important point.
Yeah, it's nothing has changed in the real world. Like, he hasn't done anything differently. Like, that was just before the election. He'd already dropped the DNC emails, and I think he'd already dropped the Podesta emails at that stage too. So he was yet to drop the CIA emails, CIA leaks, but of course that only benefits everyone, aside from, you know, a few shady individuals. So there was a relentless campaign of smears against him, and now here we are, where there's just a band of plucky truth seekers, you know, trying to go into bat for him.
Yeah, and like, his support on the left has crumbled severely. Like, and I'm not talking about the fake, you know, rainbow flag on a Reaper, rainbow flag on a Reaper drone left. I mean the real left, like the actual left.
Yeah.
Leftists. We, you know, lefties are, a lot of lefties who support WikiLeaks are surprised to learn this because of the way echo chambers work. But there's whole chunks of the American far left that absolutely hates Assange and is convinced that he's a Nazi.
Yes.
And I don't know how many of those are due to all the fake Assange accounts posting far right stuff. I think
that has something to do with it, but that, again, is also propaganda. And right. I'm sure some of them are state controlled. Like, I'm positive. So, there's just been this poisoning of the well over and over and over again. And they have shown their might. I hate to say it, but these assholes know how to do. They know how to pull this shit on us.
That is their thing.
They pull the wool over everyone's eyes, and so it's hard to get not get very frustrated with everyone for, like, just falling for it. Oh my God! Stop it! Stop falling for it!
You idiots! You morons! Don't you know that there are whole departments dedicated to making you think that?
Yeah.
Do you know? And, like, whole intelligence branches whose people whose job it is, who are paid a daily salary to make you think that. Is that not excruciatingly obvious to you, you idiot?
And when, I'm sure, you know, if you were conscious enough of your thoughts, perhaps this wouldn't actually happen to you anyway, but if you are conscious enough of your thoughts, you could track it back to when they hooked you. Mm. Was it about the rape? Was it about the, you know, the Ecuador's, you know, a lot of people are starting to say, oh, well, he's kind of outstayed his welcome there. It's, you know, he's ungrateful.
I don't think that's hooked anyone. I think that's just a thing they say to make themselves feel good about it.
Right. Well, but there have definitely been hooks.
The Atlantic, the falsely edited Atlantic leaks of the Twitter DMs between
Don Jr. That's hooked a few. Yeah.
That was a big one. I think, where they, the Atlantic deliberately falsely edited the conversation between the WikiLeaks Twitter account and Donald Trump Jr. in order to make it look as though Assange was trying to cover up
when in fact he was, like, doing the opposite.
Right.
Like, saying this is... Anyway, so yeah, it's just pathetic, really. It's pathetic that we can all be so gullible, so easily led, so suggestible. But, you know, one of the things, one of the weird miracles that happened was that also at the same time that this was happening, when I was talking about this story, there was that little viral video of the Sinclair script right. that went around, you know, showing 200 odd news stations repeating exactly the same guff about fake news and how it was a danger to our democracy. Was it?
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again.
So I hope a lot of people watched that and went, holy shit, maybe I am being brainwashed.
Yeah, anything that gets people looking at their screens a little more suspiciously can only be a good thing.
Yeah. So, the mainstream media has gone into overdrive trying to claim it as a win for them. And CNN, I saw, was trying to claim it as, oh, this is Trump going against us. I'm like, oh, my God. No, you're all as bad as each other. Right. We're all, anyway. So that was hopefully we're bringing more and more light to the ways that we're being propagandized. But that wasn't what the story was about. Oh yeah, there was actually, because it was about whenever he wants little tagline. So
right
in Twitter, if you this is your little thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I found that. If you type in "leave whenever he wants" in quotes on the Twitter search bar, you come up with dozens and dozens of all the top tweets. This is in a private browser, so it's got nothing to do with who you've subscribed to or whatever. Dozens and dozens of the top results, that every single one of them is people talking about Assange, saying he can leave whenever he wants. He can leave the embassy whenever he wants. He can leave the embassy whenever he wants. There's obviously some sort of artificial propaganda construct or narrative that I'm unaware of, or a troll farm pushing this narrative that Assange can leave the Ecuadorian embassy whenever he wants, which of course he cannot. That's the same, like you said, that's the same as saying that he can leave the embassy whenever he wants if there was a firing squad stationed outside his door. It's like saying, well, you can step off a cliff whenever you want. You technically can, but you'll die. So that's not really a choice, is it? Fucking idiot. They're going to arrest him because he's still got a bullshit arrest warrant from 2012 that should not be there for bail jumping.
Which was recently looked at by a very corrupted lawyer, justice.
Yeah, that's
so we know where they're at with that. They shopped around for the right person to look at this, and she had all these tangled ties, with
her husband. Yeah,
with her husband. Well, yeah. I mean, I guess I don't know what I'm saying there.
Her husband's like straight up MI6 or something, right?
Yeah. So and she just dismissed everything. So they've let us know exactly what they're gonna do.
Yeah.
They've made it very, very clear that this isn't just gonna be like he could walk out the door and that the cops that are stationed out there all the time would just look at him like, oh, g'day.
Right. No. They would arrest him and then they would extradite him to America, where the Trump administration is openly pursuing his arrest. Jeff Sessions said that his arrest is a priority. You hear me, you fucking Trump supporters? You MAGA people? I know a lot of MAGA people love Caitlin. Listen up. The Trump administration wants to prosecute Julian Assange. Trump said he would be okay with it. This is a fact. He's your guy, your boy. He wants to prosecute Julian Assange. America tortures whistleblowers. They tortured Chelsea Manning. They got CIA black sites. This has come into the spotlight a lot more with Haspel getting appointed to the CIA slot, the CIA chief slot. America tortures people. Why? Why would Assange
walk out the door?
For what reason would you possibly believe that he could get a fair trial?
Right.
If you look at the Chelsea Manning case, it was rigged against her from start to finish. There's no way that he could ever get a fair trial, and during that entire time he would be treated barbarically.
And you know what, Americans, if you want to be able to say that with a straight face, improve your fucking systems. Make us believe that you will you actually have justice in your country
first. You fucking assholes, you fucking pigs, saying he can leave whenever he wants, knowing that you have this despicable, draconian justice system that does such horrifying things to anyone who dares speak the truth to power. You assholes, you scum. How dare you?
You prepare that first. You fix yourself first. And then maybe we'll allow, like, we'll see whether you can serve justice or not.
Yeah, don't you dare go around pretending that Assange is hiding from this just system when you know that he is not. Fix it first. Create an actual real justice system so that you can say that Assange is hiding from it.
Yeah.
You can't say he's hiding from a justice system that does not exist. Assange is not hiding from justice. He is hiding from injustice.
Absolutely. He's hiding from American injustice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is well known all around the world. you're not hiding. The only people that you're hiding that from is yourselves if you think that he's got justice to come to. Anyway, so...
I guess that's basically the point.
That was the whole thing, really.
The fact that he's cut off from the internet, cut off from visitors, because, what, he tweeted about politics?
Yeah.
A journalist did journalism?
Right, yeah. Oh, that's what they're trying to say is that because, you know, he had an opinion on Twitter that was counter to, not even Ecuador's interest, but, like, you know, to Ecuador's... neo-colonials, like, leaders.
Well, their official statement was that he was meddling in international affairs by tweeting.
Yeah, all right. So that's a pretty fucking... are we going to actually let that be the standard?
So you're going to... Everyone deserves to be, what, imprisoned under house arrest who tweets a thing about another country?
Another country. So have a little think about that, people. Like, you know, you who go on around about Syria or about, you know, like Russia.
Iran. North Korea.
Imagine how many Americans would be in trouble if they were, like, got in trouble for commenting on Russia.
Oh, my God. I would enjoy the peace for a few minutes. I got to be honest. But then I would be outraged. On their behalf.
Yes, yeah. We bring it together. So yeah, Julian Assange is proving his thesis that if you go up against these assholes, if you take on these bastards, they will lock you up and lock you down and try and silence you, you know, as they will, and they've done that.
That's who they are. That's the sort of power establishment that they are. These are not the beneficent leaders who should be... steering the world. They're the sort of people who will stomp out political dissent and do everything they can to capture or kill a man whose only offense is speaking truth to power.
Yeah, so these are not benevolent leaders who go, oh, that's interesting, you have a different opinion on me than I am used to. You can hear it out. Or, you know, have a look inside. You're right. That's the wrong way to run the Democratic National Convention. Right. You know, yeah, you have shown us that, you know, that shouldn't go on. Let us change ourselves for the better. No. Right. And the whole thing is, kill him, drone him.
Yeah, no, the whole idea, the whole reason that like, this extends so far. The whole war on alternative media in general is premised upon the notion that the politicians and pundits and news outlets that everyone relies on for their information and the intelligence agencies, that these are beneficent and good forces that we can trust. And anything that tries to subvert what they're saying, anything that contradicts what they're saying, is pernicious. But... what are those organizations doing to someone who speaks undeniable truths? Someone who shares undeniable facts? Someone who shares CIA documents of CIA personnel talking to each other? DNC emails of DNC staff talking to each other? You know, these are 100%, every single document WikiLeaks ever reported is 100% authentic. They've never had to... retract any publication of any kind, not a single page, not a single word.
So it is just truth.
It's just truth. These people will kill a man, persecute a man for speaking the truth. That's the kind of power establishment we're up against, which proves irrefutably, in my opinion, that Assange has always been absolutely right in trying to make things hard for these assholes.
Right. Because, you know, people will champion America as, you know, like, we're bringing freedom to the world, etc. With the idea that they're not this totalitarian regime that will stomp out anyone who dares to question their authority or their narrative. But... Look, there he is. And, you know, the Americans will often say, too, oh, the Russians, they will, you know, imprison political prisoners. Like, what the fuck? There's no self-reflection there.
Right.
No ability to go, yeah, all right, well, maybe we should clean that up. No willingness to change, you know, things for the better. It's always blaming. Just blame.
Yeah, and it's just such abuser talk, the way they're like, no, well, we're not really doing that to Assange. He can leave whenever he wants.
Right. Yeah, how often do you hear that from, like, you know, asshole abusers of their wives and stuff?
Right. Oh, yeah, she can just leave whenever she wants. Oh, can she?
Yeah.
You kept her pregnant for a decade. Now she's got all these kids. She's got no skills. You've completely undermined her confidence. She thinks she needs you to survive. You've put all these mind viruses in her head on purpose, but she can leave whenever she wants.
Yeah.
Lying sack of shit. Same thing. Same fucking thing.
Yeah. And these idiots who have nothing to gain from it keep perpetuating these myths. Like, it's so bizarre to me that you would go online and say, well, you know what, Julian Assange, he's not exactly, like, he can leave whenever he wants. How does that benefit you? What has he ever done to you personally? Anyway, what's your personal vendetta about that? Like,
if those are real people, and I'm sure some of them maybe are, I'm not convinced that most of them are. If they are, in fact, real people. I think their agenda would be to make themselves feel okay with living in and benefiting from that totalitarian regime.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually tackled one who did turn out to be a real person about it, and his whole problem seemed to be that he didn't like Trump, so therefore Julian Assange couldn't rot.
Just because they're responding to you doesn't mean they're, like, not trolls, paid trolls.
Well, no, but he was so illogical that it made me did think, yeah, I know, he's a real person. He's just very, very confused. Like, they're so confused. There's so much mind viruses going on.
We're so far outside of that, it's hard for me to keep to really fully appreciate just how pervasively propagandized my countrymen are.
Yeah. This guy was actually from Northern England. So
oh, fun. Yeah, they're getting it really hard, which takes us into our next article.
Yeah, that's right, because the UK was the next on the list, basically. We cannot have a world war against Russia if we don't have our good mates, the POMs, in the UK. You don't call them POMs, though, do you?
No, tell our American listeners what that means.
The prisoner of Mother England.
Yeah, we don't think about other countries enough to have a nickname for English people.
yeah, well, yeah. That's our way of making ourselves feel better, because they imprisoned us here, and so we decided they were prisoners.
Well, our island is bigger, so you're their prisoners.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, what's this one called?
It's called Everything Keeps Changing About the Skripal Narrative, Except Russia Definitely Did It. Oh, sorry. God. Let me draw a breath. Everything keeps changing about the Skripal narrative, except, and then in quote marks, Russia definitely did it. Russia definitely did it. Oh, we're not sure exactly what happened, but Russia definitely did it. They did it. So it's like, yeah.
And they'll rip your head off and shit down your neck if you say, well, maybe there should be some sort of investigation and we should have some evidence for that.
Yeah.
Seeing as the whole, you know, Iraq thing.
Yeah.
Fucking Tony Blair, we're doing this again.
Well, we're doing this. This is Russiagate all over again. This is a verdict in search of a crime, isn't it? Mm. These are, you know, We've decided who did this, and now we've got to decide what they did.
Right.
And how. So, yeah. And I just tweeted out, like, because we were waiting for pizza, and this frustrating thought occurred to us, hey?
Yeah.
Hang on. Where is it? I'll read it out. It's so annoying. It's so annoying to realize that this is our future. What's really infuriating is knowing that they're going to keep repeating this lie about the Skripals over and over again in an authoritative tone, and in a few months, everyone will be calling me a crazy kook for doubting it, despite no new evidence having been introduced. And then the extra bit with those, that's really all they have to do. There's no public demand for the level of proof required in a post-Iraq invasion world. Just say, Russia Novichoked the Skripals over and over in an authoritative tone, and eventually it'll all become infallible doctrine.
That's what they did with Russiagate. That's exactly what they did. No proof has been added. Like, no. You're not allowed to say that. It's just, for whatever reason, at some point, everyone just heard it often enough that it transmuted into fact, the way bone transmutes into fossil over the years. And now it just is a fact that Russia definitely hacked the DNC on the orders of Vladimir Putin with the goal of electing Donald Trump. You're not allowed to say that that didn't happen. They're just... Obviously, this is a fact. Hello.
Yeah. Every now and then I do say that. I say, well, when you're ready to bring me the evidence that this occurred, and they go, but what? There's so much evidence. So much.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
You're mentally defective for not recognizing the fact that I have been told this many times in a very authoritative tone by the screens in my life.
Screens upon screens.
They sound very confident, and they are dressed in nice suits. Exactly. How could it not be unvarnished objective truth?
But see, the thing is, right, like, you and I, we spend all our days on this. So we are very, very confident when we say there's no evidence. We've gone down all the rabbit holes. We've been through the bombshells and then the, you know, quiet retractions after.
Mm.
And we've followed every single step of this. And so, but if you had been any less involved, then all you would have had was these screens telling you that the evidence had been found, and maybe you would have caught a couple of the lies. But... you know, it would have been impossible to catch all of them had you not had the same sort of level of attention that we did.
That's true, yeah. And there's just something so bulletproof about hearing the same exact narrative repeated by the Washington Post, the New York Times, Fox News, CNN, MSNBC over and over and over again. It creates the illusion of unanimity when really it's just... there's these plutocrats and they own all the media in America, and they all benefit from the status quo, and they all benefit from collaborating with intelligence agencies and their agendas.
Yeah, and also these people working within those media organizations, you know, they're not likely to stand up and go, oh, I reckon we should wait until there's some evidence. Are they? Like, no, because...
that's not their job.
That's not their job, but also, like, you know, you would be going up against a huge tide of people. Everyone, like, you know, I don't care that people think, like, I'm crazy because I don't have to work with them. But if a whole office of people who you had become friends with, it's a big deal to stand up and say, this is bullshit, actually. I think this is bullshit.
Right, yeah. And all that would happen is you would be slowly wedged out. It would not be grandiose. You would not get a grand exit or anything. Your career would die not with a bang, but with a whimper.
Yeah. Well, yes. And they have to do that very carefully now, because they don't want you to end up, like, being shafted out and then walking into a crowdfunded role. Like I did. So, yeah. That they've got to avoid that too. They've got to slowly fade you into the background. Yeah. Anyway, so the Skripal one. So that... I just want to keep an eye on it. Like, the way that they're chasing this story around is very reminiscent of the Russiagate thing, but it's actually even faster. The changes are just like every two or three days, there's a new change to the narrative, and, you know, right. It's just crazy.
It's so weird how they're having such a hard time keeping a single story going while still trying to insist that they're so certain,
it's definitely Russia.
So certain that it's Russia that they're totally justified in these massive Cold War escalations.
Yes, because the escalations have begun already. The diplomats have been thrown out, etc., etc. So, this is all being done on the back of this very shady story that keeps changing. I guess they have to keep changing it because it keeps getting debunked. So, you know, they try and. Like, they were going with it being on the door. That was they decided the Novichok was on the door handle. But then there was all these pictures of these police.
The car door handle.
No, this is on the door of the house. Mm. There was a car door handle story.
Mm.
But that was a few levels back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the recent one by the New York Times and them.
Yeah, poison door handle. But there was like. Very quickly, the internet said, hang on, we've seen police hanging around out the front of that door.
Oh, right, like, yeah.
That doesn't work. Well, why is that door not in plastic and taken away? So they had to change it again. Oh, my God, these people, they're too smart. So now they've got this new story about cereal that happened to have been, like, his favorite cereal. It was a dollar for the box. We know that. I don't know why. It was buckwheat. That's another weird. They give you these little details to hang on to so that you feel like you.
Why the fuck do I need to know about buckwheat? It's cereal. I don't care. It could be Lucky Charms. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And a friend bought over this box of cereal, and this friend also happened to work in the medical industry, and therefore there might be a connection there. But it all leads back to Russia, always, you know.
Mm.
To the Kremlin specifically. They have to be quite specific, at least, about that. Then it looks like the English people are not as easily swayed. It doesn't have to be, you know, oh, well, he was Russian. He had a Russian surname, and he talked to someone in the Trump administration, and everyone go, whoa, no, he talked to a Russian. No, that's collusion. That's collusion. You know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think just maybe something about being European, talking to someone from another nation is not as outlandish.
Maybe. Yeah. Probably
just
true.
Got all those tiny little countries. Squished together, it's just pretty normal.
So the twist and turns of this, that we were told at first that the Novichok was planted in Yulia Skripal's suitcase.
Mm.
Then we were told it was administered by the events in their car. Then it was told, I liked this one, it was delivered by miniaturized drone. That's pretty cool.
Dun, 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 dun.
Is that 007?
No, no, 007 is dun 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 dun. It's Mission Impossible.
Oh, I'm not as familiar with that one. We were told that Novichok was smeared on the family car's door handle.
Oh, that's the one I was thinking of, yeah.
Yeah, and then it was on the house door or the buckwheat cereal. I think they decided that the door wasn't true. But depending on who you're reading, really, as well.
And some of those, like, it doesn't make any sense that for there to have been an officer hospitalized.
No.
As well. Like,
that was the other thing. Just this random police officer just, like, he went down with.
Not any of the other officers, not the medical personnel.
Nope.
But just this one officer who was very temporarily hospitalized.
Yeah. So.
And then quickly released. For this deadly nerve agent that's like 100 times more powerful than sarin or whatever their fucking thing
kills
is.
Kills a whole room full of people or whatever. You know, the other thing is, because there was an English TV show that did a little segment on Novichok, like did an actual...
Right, yeah, like a fictional...
Fictional
series,
one.
like Law and Order style thing.
Yeah, and this is the interesting thing, right? Like in researching this, I found myself mixing up that story that I had, like, you know, I'd seen little clips of that with the story that they're trying to tell us
because they're so similar.
Oh, no, just, yeah, because it all sounds so fucking fictional. It all sounds like an Agatha Christie novel to me. So, like,
I'm like, yeah, but this one came out, like, just, like, a month prior, right? Like, right, it came out in February and the story broke in March?
Yes, yes. A little prepping.
That's trippy.
It is trippy.
Just to get this Novichok thing in public consciousness and then, oh, guess what? This scary boogeyman Russian-sounding thing is coming to get you now.
Yeah. That happens too often to be a coincidence, too, actually. If you check back on False Flags, that's part of the thing that they do.
False Flags, which the United States and England have an extensive history of using. This is not controversial. This is not conspiracy theory. This is just fact. We know this.
No, if you listen to people in those horrible think tanks, those Washington think tanks, they talk about false flags as crisis as an initiation. They have
crisis little, initiation.
Yeah, they have little terms for it, and they talk about it quite freely and openly. And you know, it's difficult. Crisis initiation is difficult.
Sometimes you just got to initiate a crisis because there aren't enough in the world.
Yes.
We don't have enough crises. You just got to get another one initiated right now.
That's when I knew for sure that these people are not humans like me. Because yeah. They talk in a whole other different way.
Whole other operating system.
Yeah, I avoid crises, if possible. That's my modus. I don't initiate them to use them.
Like, we don't have a war. And most people would be like, oh, well, good. That's a good thing that bombs aren't falling on us and there's not a bunch of death and destruction. I'm glad that we are not at war. Those people are like, we're not at war. How do we fix that problem?
Yeah.
How do we fix the problem of not being at war?
Right.
How do we fix the problem of there not being death and destruction and mayhem and chaos and all the rape and exploitation that necessarily goes hand in hand with war?
Can we do that little video?
Yeah, haven't we done that before?
No, we didn't.
Oh, we wanted to. That was one of our false takes.
Yeah, our false podcast when we just fell over, exhausted. Hang on, I'll find it. Yeah, so here we go. It is in the article. We are one false flag event away from World War III. And I'll just play a little bit of it.
I frankly think that crisis initiation is really tough.
It's so hard.
It's so hard to initiate crises. It's really tough.
People are just all going around not being in crises. And like, you're like, hey, guys, the crisis is over there. And they're like, nah, man, we're pretty good here with just being mellow.
Yeah.
And they're like, and well, duh, gosh, crisis initiation is so tough.
Yeah, quite frankly. It was nice of him to be honest about that.
He's nice and frank.
Yeah.
And it's very hard for me to see how the United States president can get us to war with Iran.
So hard to see how the president is going to get us to war with Iran. Like, not avoid war with Iran.
No. We're over here where the war isn't, and that's a problem.
Yes, that's an issue. This is not avoiding war or like working around war. This is trying to get us to war with Iran.
Normal people are just like, if you tell them there's no war going on, they're like, all right, well, good.
Yeah.
I don't like death and destruction. I try to avoid it when I can.
Well, the first time I heard this video, I actually kept doing these little switcheroonies in my head to try and make sense of what he was saying within my ability, you know, my realms of like, you know. And so I heard that sentence as try to avoid war with Iran. It wasn't until the second time I heard it was like, oh no,
go out of your way to get to war with Iran.
Yeah, that's actually what he said, and that's really what he meant.
Which leads me to conclude that if, in fact, compromise is not coming, that the traditional way of America gets to war is what would be best for U.S. interests.
The traditional way to get to war would be best for U.S. interests.
The time-honored traditional way.
Of crisis initiation.
That is done. Of initiating conflicts. And it's so weird. It's so weird, Caitlin. If you wanted to travel from, say, Philadelphia to New York City, and then someone was like, okay, But there's a tire fire all the way in Des Moines, and I want us to drive out of our way and go all the way to that so that we can drive into the tire fire. Just drive right on in there before we go to New York. So like, we you're already where the war isn't. You're winning. If you're not at war with Iran, good. One less awful, horrible thing. But they're like, no, see, that's a problem. We need to go out of our way to get to that awful, horrible thing that could cause World War III.
This is why we're not winners, Tim. We don't think this way. This is clearly why we're losers. We like peace. And we avoid it. We avoid conflict.
Some people might think that Mr. Roosevelt wanted to get us into World War II, as David mentioned. You may recall we had to wait for Pearl Harbor. Some people might think Mr. Wilson wanted to get us into World War I. You may recall he had to wait for the Lusitania episode. Some people might think that Mr. Johnson wanted to send troops to Vietnam. You may recall he had to wait for the Gulf of Tonkin episode. We didn't go to war with Spain until the until the Maine exploded. And may I point out that Mr. Lincoln did not feel he could call out the Federal Army until Fort Sumter was attacked, which is why he ordered the commander at Fort Sumter to do exactly that thing which the South Carolinians had said would cause an attack.
False flag, false flag, false flag, false flag, false flag. Every one of those. He just rattled off a bunch of known established false flags. They knew that Pearl Harbor was going to happen, and they allowed it to happen so that the World War I weary American populace would consent to involvement in World War II. World War I, the Lusitania was pure false flag. They'd done research ahead of time, finding out what would happen to public opinion if they sunk a ship with Americans on it at that time. The Gulf of Tonkin incident, known false flag, admitted false flag, right? All the top officials admitted that the stuff they said happened never happened, the thing that sent all those thousands and tens of thousands of American soldiers to die and millions of Vietnamese killed was all based on a lie. The SS Maine, known false flag. Lincoln did do a thing that he knew would provoke an attack.
Well, I liked how he wrapped it all up, you know, back to Lincoln. This is tradition. This is patriotism, people. This is how we do things in America. This is the American way.
What are you, better than Abe Lincoln? Come on.
Yeah. And he, in that one, he laid out exactly how a false flag worked, that Abe Lincoln did exactly what he knew would he needed to do in order to cause an attack. It's like, you know, pinching your little brother underneath the table. You know you're going to get a bowl of peas like all over you. But if that's what you want to happen, then you'll be quite happy with that.
If you're trying to get the family galvanized against your little brother,
that's what you go ahead and do.
And then you go, Mom, Billy.
Yeah.
Go to bed without supper.
So if in fact the Iranians aren't going to compromise, it would be best if somebody else started the war. One can combine other means of pressure with sanctions. I mentioned that explosion on August 17th. We could step up the pressure. I mean, look, people, Iranian submarines periodically go down. Someday one of them might not come up. Who would know why?
Oh. Good one.
That's silly, guy. He's a load of yucks.
Isn't he? This is just like, you know, Saturday Night Live.
Hey, waka waka.
Yeah, for psychopaths. God, wonder they won't come up. And he, you know, if you see the video, he's like, he's got the whole shoulders going.
He practiced that shit in front of a mirror.
You know he did.
That's his stand-up shtick.
And you know he's done that at dinner parties all over Washington.
That's who these people are. That's who they hang out with. You just surround yourself with individuals where this is a normal way to talk. You know, if he talked like that in front of normal people, they would start throwing knives at him.
Yeah.
Kill it. Kill it with fire.
Exactly. Except
throw that guy out a window.
Yeah, he's so comfortable in this room, everyone giggles along with him.
One of them might not come up.
We can do a variety of things if we wish to increase the pressure. I'm not advocating that. But I'm just suggesting that this is not a either-or proposition. Of, you know, it's just sanctions has to succeed or other things. We are in the game of using covert means against the Iranians. We could get nastier at that.
Ugh, isn't that just the creepiest thing?
I'm not advocating that, but I'm totally advocating that.
I'm just saying, we're in the game. We could get nastier. I'm not advocating it, but we're in the game and we could get nasty. It's a game. It's just a game. I know. Doesn't it make you just want to like collapse on the floor and rock yourself?
So this is an American Israel lobbyist. This was back in 2012, on one of the many, many, many occasions that these sociopaths have openly discussed wanting to start a war with Iran.
In their little think tanks.
That's just normal to them.
That's what they do there. Anyway.
Waka waka. Maybe one of them doesn't come up. Slide whistle. Womp womp.
Shit.
All right, shall we wrap?
Yes, sir.
Caitlin is an entirely listener and reader-supported journalist, so if you want to support her daily podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon or PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Medium, on Steemit, and on CaitlinJohnston.com, where you can get on a mailing list to get an email notification whenever she writes an article. You've been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on.
Thanks, y'all.
Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Katie, oh Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that's right. Keep talking, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady, they're lying straight to our face. But maybe, oh maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Keep fighting, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie, oh Katie, keep speaking truth to power. We've got your back, so don't cower. A pretty Aussie flower. Love you, girlfriend.